how do you put together a book that helps people who are about to retire or perhaps have already retired, and it's just not working? We weren't positioning ourselves as authorities on what people should do in retirement. So we focused on the idea that retirement is somewhat of a journey. And when you go off on a journey, it's good to have a guidebook. And what a guidebook does is let you figure out your own questions about what do you want to see, where do you want to go, et cetera. And so that was the model that we used to put this book together. We wanted to keep it simple. We wanted to keep it concise. We wanted to be like a conversation between us, the writers, and whoever the reader might be.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy, with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors healthcare.
Hi, welcome back to the Retire Well, Retire Happy show with your host, Annie Nelson. And today, I have two for the price of one. We have two guests. They are friends and co-authors, Ted Kaufman and Bruce Hyland. Ted is the former U.S. Senator from Delaware, succeeding Senator Joseph Biden. Ted was Biden's chief of staff for 19 years and led his presidential transition planning in 2020. He taught at Duke Law School for 26 years. At 81, he and his wife Lynn celebrate their 61st anniversary this year. Amazing. Bruce's career included McKinsey, more than 4 years as Chief Administrative Officer at Time Inc., 20 years of independent consulting, and four startups. Now 80, he and Ginny, married for 57 years, are enjoying their family, dealing with aging, and harvesting the fruits of their labor. Welcome to the show, Ted and Bruce.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Thank you.
You haven't slowed down by the sounds of all this. You've led a very amazing, fruitful life, and you have a great family to enjoy your retirement with. I'd like to know more about what started you down the road to writing this book before we get into too much more.
Ted, you want to take the lead or you want me to tell the story?
Why don't you go ahead, Bruce.
Well, we got together. We'd been classmates in graduate school many, many years ago. We got back together again about 5-6 years ago. And as we were talking about our shared experience, telling anecdotes about friends and acquaintances and people that we'd worked with who were retired, and a pattern started to emerge that there were quite a surprising number of people who were not happy in their retirement. They had the financial resources, but they just weren't enjoying it. They weren't feeling that it was meaningful. So as Ted and I talked through this, we concluded that this was something worth some serious attention. So we started doing a little digging around. And one day, Ted looked over and said, let's write a book. We concluded that we'd learned enough, we'd observed enough, and our experience all supported it to come up with the book that you've seen. And the real challenge we faced right off the bat was, how do you put together a book that helps people who are about to retire or perhaps have already retired? And it's just not working. We weren't positioning ourselves as authorities on what people should do in retirement. So we focused on the idea that retirement is somewhat of a journey. And when you go off on a journey, it's good to have a guidebook. And what a guidebook does is let you figure out your own questions about what do you want to see, where do you want to go, et cetera. And so that was the model that we used to put this book together. We wanted to keep it simple. We wanted to keep it concise. We wanted to be like a conversation between us, the writers, and whoever the reader might be. And here we are today. We have the book. It's coming out officially on May 4th, and we're getting some very enthusiastic reviews so far.
Yeah, one of the things that we found out, we start out thinking that we knew a number of people who were having a real problem with retirement. They spent the time on figuring out the finances, but had not spent time on thinking what they were going to do. So that was originally what our target audience was once we decided we were going to write a book. What we found since we started is that people that are really most interested in this are people that have in retirement and are having a real problem. It's just not working for them. It's like one of the things we learned, Ann, was that when Bruce and my parents retired, it was like you got a pension at 65 and then you retired and then you live for 8-10 years. But now people are retiring much earlier, and because of life expectancy, they have a real possibility of having 20 or 30 years in retirement. You can't do that on the back of an envelope. You've got to spend time. But here's the interesting part. The interesting part is the people that have been most interested in what we're doing in many cases are the spouses of people who've retired and having trouble, or the children of people who retired and having trouble. So I think what we're finding is that well over half of our interest is from people that have retired and are very unhappy with their retirement.
Mm-hmm. So I think you've established that retirement has changed since your parents' generation. And the title of your book, I should have said before, is Retiring. Your next chapter is about much more than money. So you're on about that it's not just about the money. So what should be the first thing someone does nearing retirement? What should they be doing?
I think the first thing they should do is work out the money. I think it's really important, really, really important to work out, make sure that they have the finances to do what they have to do while they're doing it. And then in the book, we go through the steps that you should take. It's a really complex mix of a whole bunch of things. If you look at the chapters in our book, I think you can see how complicated it is. First, we start out with just what's the problem, and then what to expect, what do you want to do, where do you want to live, how do you maintain your body? How do you maintain your brain? How do you maintain your heart? How do you maintain your soul? Putting it all together and looking ahead. So that's really, if it's done right, it's a major planning problem in order to get to the position where you're retired and you're really enjoying your retirement.
For you to write the book together, you must have had some cases or done a bit of research to see that some retirees, as you say, are failing retirement. So what did you come up with?
Let me read, just tick off the examples. I think it's in the very first chapter, which kind of put it all in context of the people that were more easily said than done. A financial services executive, retired woman who'd retired for a year. She'd done really good financial planning, but she was waking up in the middle of the night worrying, what am I going to do? What can I do? This is a disaster. Maybe I should go back to work. A public employee said, my best friends for years have been the people I worked with every day. Once I retired, I found we didn't have much to talk about beyond business. After several lunches without the business issues to talk about, we drifted apart. An attorney who was consumed by his career, he had no other interests, no hobbies or plans. He fought his firm's mandatory retirement policy right up to the last day in the office. A cocktail party, or Ted had this experience of a retired CEO bending his ear for quite a while, talking about how bored he was after 6 months in retirement. He had nothing to do. His complaints went on and on. And last example was a corporate executive who had played a lot of golf and planned at 65 to go play more golf. But after about 4 or 5 years, his golf game started to fade, and he realized that he wasn't a contributing competitive member of his foursome, and he just had to give up the game.
Well, you've obviously got some good research there to back up your claim there. So why most retirees unprepared for the reality of retirement?
I think that they're thinking kind of short term. And I think a lot of people, ever since they first started working, were saying, oh boy, someday I'm going to be able to just go off and retire and, you know, stay in the hammock and read books and things like that. It's kind of a deeply ingrained in a lot of people that they'll be funny, you know, all I need to do is just get away from what I'm doing and I'll be happy. And that turns out to be just a fool's errand. I mean, you really have to plan. Again, when you're talking about 25, 30 years, you really have to plan what it is you're doing. The other thing that came clear to Bruce and to me was that we needed a new definition of retirement, because the retiring at 65 and getting a gold watch just didn't apply to folks now. So what the definition we've come up for retirement is the time at which you decide you are going to control your own schedule. Mm. So when you're free to set up your own schedule, that doesn't mean you stop working. That doesn't mean that you stop being involved in all kinds of things. But for instance, when I retired in 1995, I still worked at things. I was, as you said earlier, I taught for 26 years. I was involved in a whole number of things. So basically what we're talking about, a new definition of retirement, to take into account the fact that it's going to be a long-term thing. It's going to be much more complicated than retiring before. And on top of that, I think when you look around at the books that are written on retirement, 95% of them are written about the financial side, which is, as we said at the beginning, is very, very important. But people spend a lot of time on the financial side, but then it comes to the what they're going to do part. That's the part where they just haven't spent the time. And as Bruce said, there isn't that much literature out there on what actually do during retirement.
Mm. Let me add one thing to that, and it's an interesting phenomena. The very prominent wealth manager that I talked and worked with for years suggested that we should call this book Overcoming Denial. And his experience was he was working with his clients, and they were having all the money issues had been resolved. And he said with almost more than half of the clients, when he'd try and get them to start talking about what they were going to do with their time, what the relationships were that they wanted to improve, some that they might want to change, said they just wouldn't do it. They just didn't want to do it. And at the risk of gender typing, it's obvious from our experience that men have a much more difficult time confronting feelings and dealing with some of the emotional parts of the experiences in the retirement process. And that seems to contribute to the denial as well. But, you know, bottom line is there's all sorts of there's all sorts of very good help to do the financial planning. There's good help for your, you know, to do an estate plan and all that stuff. But there's not much help around to deal with all these other issues that have to do with whether or not you have a satisfying life.
Mm. And going back to what you were talking about before with catching up with old workmates, and then they drift apart because I think it's all about labels as well. And we're so used to having our label of our job title. But once we stop working, our colleagues no longer see us as useful to keep up the relationship because we have no influence anymore. So the retirement label certainly needs a bit more effort put into it, that's for sure. And you've come up with your own title there. You talk about choices. What are the most important choices do you think you have to make when you're looking at retirement?
When to retire, what you're going to do, and where you're going to live. Those are the three legs of the stool right up front. And each one of those answers can be interactive with the other answers. But that's where we start the book. That's where we encourage our reader to start their thinking and their reflection. Once they've got a handle on when they're going to retire, what they're going to do, and where they're going to live, then we take them through the challenge of, as Ted ticked off earlier, maintaining your body, which is a precondition for health, maintaining your mind, maintaining what we call your heart, not the heart your cardiologist is interested in, but your emotional heart, and then finally your soul. So that's the structure. That's the process.
And when we talk about soul, we're not talking about it has to be through organized religion. But the, the fact that the spiritual, what the studies have shown, and it's in the book, is that if people get into more spiritual things, and it can be yoga, it can be all kinds of things that are generally lumped into spiritual, it can increase their, not just the life, how long they live, it can also increase the quality of life. And the other thing that's important to remember when you're doing this is, another tip is socialization. If you have involved in socialization, get out and see people. It's very easy when, like you say, when your mates from work no longer are interested in talking to you, you can begin to get in a situation where you're staying at home, you're reading books, you're doing things that are okay in some degree, but really you get not getting out and spending time with people other than the people that you live close to. So I think that an important part of this is socialization. An important part of it is having a spiritual interest in addition to the heart and the mind and the body.
Yep, and it'll be different for everyone. Have you come across any problems in the home when both are home all the time?
Well, let me sandwich one thing because I had a perfect example of this. They had, I lived in Wilmington, Delaware, and DuPont Company used to be gigantic there, and they started retiring people early. And a friend of mine, his wife said to him after a week, she said, "I married you for good times and bad, but not for lunch."
The relationship issue starts if you have a significant other, partner, wife, spouse, however, you know, whatever the term is. If you have somebody, that's where you have to start paying attention early. If you haven't been up until that point, even with people that have had very, very good relationships, the good relationship has been in the context of a work dynamic and a schedule that's been shaped by each, the professions or the work of each of them, and kind of the routine and the pace of what they did and who they did it with. And all that comes to the fore. So we counsel, there's very little specific advice in the book, but as I recall, we make it very clear that you start with your spouse, start with your partner. You might even give your partner a copy of this book separately so that everybody knows what's going on, and work through those questions, because the socialization starts there and it reaches out to your friends and acquaintances. And as Ted referred to a few minutes ago, the research, the hard research, shows how important socialization is for your health as you age. It just, the payoff is dramatic and it's there.
Mm-hmm. The other thing is, anyone, especially as the older you get, Bruce and I are both in our 80s, is that for most people, retirement's a team sport. All the issues you deal with, if you have a spouse, there have to be a whole lot of team decisions made, because it goes back, look at the things we're talking about, you know, where you're going to live, for instance. Bad mistake to not have, you know, total alignment on where you want to live. And then a lot of alignment on what you want to do. It probably is the two of you that are going to do it. So it's dealing with the significant other is a very important part of having a successful retirement. And there's a lot of ins and outs to it, and it changes over your retirement time.
That's true, because you probably aren't able to do in your 80s what you could do even in your 70s. And in the end, we usually end up on our own. So where you live can be an important decision to make, because where you're living now, is that going to be suitable for the person that gets left on their own as well?
Good point.
So what are the keys to successful planning that sometimes gets forgotten?
One thing that jumps to mind is just asking other people, doing your research. And one of the things we do in the book is we've got a lot of footnotes, and then we have, by the way, each of these footnotes is keyed to our website so that the person doesn't have to type in all the detail. When we get the reader doing their thinking, the research part of it is really important. Now, some of the research is looking stuff up, but one of the things, and Ted and I both had this experience with friends, of their, as they told how they they'd learned in their retirement journey, each of them emphasized how important it is to talk to people who have already retired to learn from their mistakes, get their insights, and if they know you well enough to perhaps have some keen observations and suggestions for you.
I think, you know, it's not like one of the worst thing you can do is getting into reinventing the wheel. I mean, talking to people that have already gone down the road, and because it's amazing, and I think this is a surprise to, I know it was a surprise to Bruce and to me, is how uniform the failures are in retirement. I mean, how, you know, it you just keep coming to it over and over again, where people get out. And that's one of the reasons we, and frankly, that's probably the biggest reason we wrote the book, is for people that have, are having a real problem with retirement. We obviously, Bruce and I are both planners. So clearly we want to get the people who are beginning to plan their retirement, and the book's built around that. But I think what we found that was a surprise to both of us is that the vast majority of, not the vast majority, but the majority of people that we run into that are having the biggest problems are people that have already retired and are having a hard time of it. And as I said, there's a lot of interest with people who are related to or care about retirees who are failing retirement to get the hands on the book so that they can give it to the person who's retired and hopefully get them out of the hole they're in. Because some of them can dig, you can dig a pretty deep hole in terms of how satisfactory your retirement life is.
Well, that's very interesting. And sorry for my, I'm smiling when you say you're failing at retirement. So you've come up with a great resource for people that are already retired and for potential retirees. Before we finish up, what is a particular key to organizing your retirement?
Well, at the end of the book, we walk the reader through all these questions to answer and issues to consider. Then we have a couple of pages where Ted talks about how he did it and Bruce talks about how he did it. They couldn't be more different. Ted, by training, is an engineer. He has an approach to things that works wonderfully. I was a sociology, psychology major. I'm much more fluid and loose. And so as you read the stories of what we did, Ted's is a much more systematic, orderly, disciplined process. Mine seems much more freeform and decisions of the moment. But the fact is that both of us dealt with the same questions and the same issues as we went through our very different approaches. And the message we want to get across to the reader is there's no one way to do this. It's what works for the reader, what fits. It's going to be their retirement. So all of these questions that they're going to be wrestling with, they have to answer for their person or with their partner. So
I think Bruce, you know, he talks about how, about the way I do it, but Bruce is much more creative about what he's doing. Basically, the two of us kind of cover the left side of the brain and the right side of the brain with regard to suggest. I mean, it's really true. I mean, the way we approach things and everything else. So I think that's one of the things that's really helped make the book something that's useful to all kinds of people that we've talked to about it, and how it really helps is it kind of gives you a complete circular, creative plus organized approach to how you should have your retirement. And I think that's really what you need. And you take from it what is the piece that you need to supplement what you're doing, what was failing when you went through the retirement the first time. But again, many of the people, it's because they're operating on an out-of-date view of what retirement is based on the experience with their parents and older folks, as I say, who retired after just getting a gold watch and they retired. And, you know, but now with 20, 30 years out in front of them, it's a major effort and requires you. It requires the person that's going through it to sit down and really dedicate the time to it. As I said, and Bruce and I have said repeatedly, the money is the first part. You've got to get that straightened out. But you got to be prepared for the fact that, and this would be based on, would be an effect on time. You got to be prepared for the fact it's going to take almost as much time, in some cases, even more time, to plan the what am I going to do piece.
Well, two 80-year-olds have certainly been occupying their time and getting prepared for and writing this book. It's amazing effort. congratulations to both of you. And I see that all profits of this book are going to charity.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. This is basically, can we help some people deal with this retirement, which is an incredibly important portion of your life?
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope that you have a much longer and continuing being successful in your retirement. I assume you're going to be able to get a special signature on the book, Ted, and perhaps a bit of free publicity with your connections.
Well, yes, although it's a busy world out there. There's a lot going on.
Oh, you'll be right to hand it to the president once he retires in whatever his term.
Well, I gave him the book. Oh, by the way, he was a good person to talk to about retirement. I mean, because he's very organized in what he does. He's got, again, he's got both the creative side and the quantitative side. So, yeah. Anyway, it's been great being on here, Ann.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
If anyone wanted to find out more about the two of you and more about the book, where would they go?
There will be a website, I believe, first off, our book is only coming out on May 4th. Yep. And by May 4th, there will be a website, the name of which is Retiring Your Life, all one word, retiringyourlife.com.
Mm-hmm. But the main thing is that is to get the book. You can get it on Amazon. If you just put Ted Kaufman or Bruce Hyland into the search section, it'll take you right to the site where you can buy the book, and it'll be available starting on May 4th.
Yeah, the show will be coming out probably just after that, so it'll be good timing.
Good. Well, then if it's coming out then, they can just go onto the Amazon website and buy the book.
All right. Well, thanks very much. We've had Ted and Bruce on the show today, and they have a new book coming out, Retiring. Your next chapter is about much more than money. Thank you.
Thank you, Ann.
Bye.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.